Father, we celebrate you. You are so wonderful. You are so gracious. Spirit of a living God, we thank you because you are already here. Before we came, you were here. Lord, we thank you, Lord, even as we have confessed this song this morning, that you have gone ahead of us, that you are behind us. We have nothing to fear. We are going to succeed. In the mighty name of Jesus, the Lord wants me to tell somebody that this week you are going to be favored. As a matter of fact, from tomorrow, you are going to be favored. Somebody will have a favor testimony tomorrow. In the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, we bless you. Please be seated in the presence of God. Amen. We are continuing from where we stopped last week, our series on Accelerate. This is part three, as it were. I have captioned it, Destroying Self-Doubt. Destroying Self-Doubt. Okay. Destroying Self-Doubt. I'm going to tell you ahead. What God has impressed on our heart so that you can be prepared for it. I told us last week this messages are going to take us into 2019. Prepare us for a wonderful takeoff in Jesus' mighty name. 2019, some people are going to press reset and some people are going to just continue, depending on where you are. So the Lord has impressed in my heart that 2019, I will succeed. That's our theme for next year. I will succeed. I will succeed. You will succeed. Amen. I will succeed. Amen. And what we're going to do is, all through the year, by the grace of God, we're going to teach us every Sunday biblical principles for success. The one you adhere to is the one that will work for you. If you have your Bibles, open with me to Numbers 13, Destroying Self-Doubt. Numbers 13, 17 to 33. We were not able to read it last week because of time. Then Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan and said to them, "Go up this way into the south and go up to the mountains and see what the land is like, whether the people who dwell in it are strong or weak, few or many, whether the land they dwell in is good or bad, whether the cities they inhabit are like camps or strongholds, whether the land is rich or poor, whether there are forests there or not. Be of good courage and bring some of the fruit of the land." Now the time was the season of the first ripe grapes. So they went up and spied out the land from the wilderness of Zin as far as Rehob near the entrance of Hamath. And they went up through the south and came to Hebron. Ahiman, Sheshai, and Talmai, the descendants of Hanak, were there. Now Hebron was built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. Then they came to the valley of Eshcol, and there cut down a branch with one cluster of grapes. They carried it between two of them on a pole. They also brought some of the pomegranates and figs. The place was called the Valley of Eshcol because of the cluster which the men of Israel cut down there. And they returned from spying out the land after 40 days. Now they departed and came back to Moses and Aaron and all the children of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. They brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. Then they told him and said, "We went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. The Hittites, the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea along the banks of the Jordan." Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it." But the men who had gone up with him said, "We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, "The land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants. And all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature. There we saw the giants, the descendants of Anak, came from the giants. And we were like grasshoppers in our own sight. And so we were in their sight." Father, breathe on your word, enlighten our darkness, in Jesus' mighty name. I'm sure if you've been reading your Bible, you already know this story. Amen. So I'm not going to repeat the story as it were. It's just to give us a guideline. One of the main reasons why Christians fail or attempt just the minimal in life, or even belittle other people's dreams, is simply because of vision. 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 I have a question. How often do you imagine where God is taking you to? How often do you process that future that God has spoken to you? How often do you encourage yourself with the promises that God has made to you? Listen carefully. The children of Israel, they went, they saw. 12 went. 12 saw. But 10 saw with their eyes. And 2 saw with imagination. Eyesight only see things the way they are, not the way they could be. These eyes can only see how things are, not the way they can be. God does not just see you the way you are now, but he looks at you and I through the lens of what he created you and I to be. God is your conceiver. God is my conceiver. He's looking at you the way you could be. If only you will follow his blueprint for your life. God saw the children of Israel as conquerors and overcomers. But most of them saw themselves as victims. They have a defeatist mentality. Even though they saw the possibilities of what can become theirs. Someone said, eyes that look are common, but eyes that see are few. What kind of eyes do you have? Mark Twain said, you cannot depend on your eyes when your imagination is out of focus. That's something I think you should write down. You cannot depend on your eyes when your imagination is out of focus. And many of us have become limited by what our physical eyes are showing us. If only you can leverage your imagination, you will break your limitations. If you can leverage your imaginations or your imagination, you will break all your limitations. Limitations will be nothing. Oh, like most of us must have read about the great Helen Keller, the blind and deaf woman who did tremendous things in life. She said, the most beautiful things in the world cannot be seen with the naked eyes or even touched. They must be felt with the heart. What is your heart feeling? What possibility is your heart incubating? However, the imagination of man can be limited. Imagination has no boundaries, but the imagination of man can be limited. Why did I say so? Because its result is not guaranteed. But when revelation from God ignites your imagination, it's not only possible, it's not only unlimited, it's also guaranteed. Allowing God to speak to your mind, allowing God to expand your vision, allowing God to help you focus your heart, it ignites imagination, unlimited and guaranteed imagination. Because if God can show it to you, it means it has been settled. Hallelujah. There is a possible you beyond what you see now. When you look at you, when you look at you in the mirror, regardless, maybe you are going through one challenge or the other. Maybe your mind is even telling you, you can't make it. How am I going to do this? How am I going to do that? But if you can only see that you are a possibility, beyond where you are, beyond whatever you are going through, there's a greater you within you. There's a greater you within you than you see. Jabez saw a greater himself, a greater Jabez, in spite of what was pronounced on his destiny the day he was born. His mother called him sorrow. He carried the nomenclature of sorrow everywhere he went. But every day, something inside Jabez was saying, you are more than this. You are better than this. You can do more than this. Your life is greater than this. And that's the same story about you. You are better than this. You are more than this. There is more you can do. There is more you can achieve. There is a higher level you can go. Your life can improve. You can get what somebody else has never gotten before. And it's regardless of age. It's regardless of your country of origin. It's regardless of your color. I want you to ask your neighbor and say, neighbor, have you seen you? Have you been revealed to you? Is there something really inside you telling you that? You see, there's something that is called intuitive memory. Intuitive memory literally means some feeling telling you something negative is about to happen. Oh, you know, you've used that statement before too. I just felt as if it's intuitive memory. But beyond intuitive memory for negativity, do you have that intuition that there is something better about me that needs to show up? Am I preaching to a people here? There's something, I can feel it. Something in me wants to come out. Something in me wants to show up. That's the real you. That's the real you. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 to 12, but as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. That positive you, that great you, that mighty you, that successful you that wants to come out. Nobody has seen it before. Even you have not seen you before, but you can feel it on the inside. It says, but you can catch it by revelation. Revelation shows you deeper, wider, farther than your physical eyes can. Sometimes our parents understand more. When we were younger, growing up, playing truancy, parents tend to get worried. Oh, this child is not doing this. This child is not doing that. This child is this. And somebody will tell them, don't worry, you will outgrow it. Then they won't believe it. Now you are a parent too. You are saying the same thing. And you have turned out the way you have turned out. Hallelujah. But there's a better version of you that can still turn out. Hallelujah. You see, like most of us, the children of Israel, they had forgotten the generational promise that God made to Abraham. Our father Abraham. This year, we started with this promise. Most of us probably will have forgotten. We don't pray it anymore. Because nobody comes on the pulpit to lead it in prayer. The Bible says in Genesis 12. It says, I will bless you and make your name great. You see, my father's name is Lawanson. In the part of Africa where I originated from, it's a very popular name. It's a great name. Up until a particular time, I was called Carl Lawanson. Even until now, Carl Lawanson. But I said to myself, I have to grow beyond this name because I feel like I'm under the shadow of this man. He has done so many great things. He has left certain legacies that I admire and the ones I don't admire at all. Because if you marry five wives and have 21 children, I don't admire that. You know. So I decided, you know what? For my children, I'm going to give them a different allowancing. When they grow up, they can change to another version, upgrade it, and achieve something better, and achieve something greater. You are able to achieve more. I didn't hear an amen. Amen. It says, I will bless you and make your name great. And you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. And I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. The children of Israel had forgotten this generational promise, this generational blessing, to the extent that they got to the place where God promised their father, who he gave this promise to directly, and they cowered. The promise is still at work today. The promise is still at work today. For anybody who will believe it, for anybody who will walk it, God will make you great. God will bless you. God will make your name great. You will be a great symbol in your generation. In the name of Jesus. Listen to me. Every promise from God is a blessing. Every promise is a blessing. Why do I say that? Galatians 3, 13 to 14. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Why? That the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus. Who is this referring to? He's referring to me. He's referring to you. Why? He says that we might receive what? The promise. The promise is the blessing. That we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Every promise of God is a blessing to your destiny. If you can walk it, it will work for you. But you got to beware of self-doubt. Doubt cannot kill the promise, but doubt can make it ineffective in your life. When you doubt yourself, you're already doubting God, and you are doubting his ability within you. Everybody carries God's ability within them. When you doubt yourself, you automatically shrink your capacity. You shrink your velocity. You are doubting God, you are doubting his ability, because you are doubting yourself, and you are doubting, because of that, you are doubting your capacity. You are doubting the strength that God has deposited in you. Touch your neighbor and say, neighbor, you are more than who you think you are. You have a big car. V8. Massive engine. If you are given opportunity to drive without speed limit, because in life God gave us opportunity without speed limit. Opportunity without limit, rather. But you are speeding and on in life. You are going on in life. The moment you start doubting, what do? You slow down. Doubt slows you down. Many people have caused havoc killed others, injured themselves at roundabouts. There are not many here. There are some countries you go roundabouts all over the place. You cannot hesitate to enter into a roundabout. When you hesitate, you cause problems. Self-doubt slows you down, and it eventually stops you. Have you stopped already? Have you jettisoned that dream, that vision? Because you started doubting what you don't have. You started doubting your bank account. You started doubting yourself. You started doubting, oh, I don't have helpers. I don't have no friends. Have you thrown your dreams away because of that? Oh, because I don't have that. Because I don't have this. I want to remind you, when I came to this country, believe me sincerely, I came as a man on a mission. I had a mission. I didn't have it all together, but that didn't stop me. I told you, when I filed my papers, it was delayed. I had a car that I needed to tag. The dealer's tag was expiring 30 days. I went to the DMV. They kicked me out, threatened me with police. The same police they threatened me with, I decided, you know what? Let me go to the police station myself. Let me just tell them that I'm a man on a mission. I'm a preacher here. My papers are with the USCIS. It's not being approved yet. But I need to drive. And I'll make my case to them. You know, in Kansas City, there are no buses. How do you expect me to move around? There has to be a waiver. Now I know about waiver. Then I wasn't thinking waiver. All I was thinking is God has to make a way. To cut a long story short, God made a way. Because I did not stop. What they thought they were going to threaten me with, I decided, you know what? Like I told you last week, coward dies many times before their death. Don't let nothing stop you. Don't let doubt stop you. Hallelujah. Let me tell you something. You see, your sacrifices will be dwarfed by your rewards. Your sacrifice is nothing compared to your rewards. Believe me. Life will challenge you, brother. Life will challenge you, sister. But don't let life defeat you. Don't lie down for life. Don't become a victim of life. Step on it. Rise above it. Whatever it takes, let it take. We pray the prayer this morning. Lord, help me. By whatever means, in any way. When life throws you a curveball, find a good racket to hit it back. Hallelujah. Who are successful people? Successful people are the ones who overcame challenges. If you don't overcome a challenge, you are not a success. The whole of Israel ran before Goliath. One boy said, no, I'm not running. I'm going to face this challenge headlong. It became an overnight success. Praise the Lord. You see, one of the major reasons why people don't tithe and don't give, they have believed they lie. And number two, they don't trust the ability of God to make a way for them through the seed they are holding in their hands. Your life is a seed. Sow it. The seed that God gave you, sow it. God gives bread to the eater and seed to the sower. If you allow doubt to stop you from sowing, that same doubt has killed the harvest of your future. It's just as simple as that. Your seed has a greater capacity, not in your hands, but when it is sown. I sow seeds every week. Every week. Believe me. I sow seed in church. I sow seed in a savings account. I sow seed in an investment account. The one in the savings account is not for a rainy day. It's for any opportunity that shows up. I just go and clear it out. And I've cleared it many times. I always put a seed somewhere so that I will always have something to expect. You don't put it there, don't expect it there. Praise the Lord. Sometimes that seed doesn't look much. Even like treasury bills. Here in the United States, you can go to treasurydirect.gov and sign up, open an account for yourself because of your children, then open an account for them. It could be different terms. You read the instructions there. It could be 18 years, 20 years. And every week, even if it's $5, you are sowing there. By the time those children are 18, 21, you can imagine what it will become. You can imagine what it will do in their lives. Seeds are not the only ones you sow in church. You have to sow seed in church. You have to give your tithes. But sow seeds for your future. Invest in your future. That's the way I look at it. Hallelujah. That's the way I look at it. Even when somebody blesses me, I don't eat everything. I don't just spend everything. Oh, no, 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 no. No, no. I have to add value to it. For the sake of the person who gave me, and for my sake. Deuteronomy 5:29 says, "Oh, that they had such a heart in them, that they would fear me, not doubt me, fear me, and always keep all my commandments, that it might be well with them, and with their children forever." Your level in life today is not where you belong. But if you exercise faith, those 10 spies refuse to exercise faith. If you believe God, if you act in obedience, God will take you to where you should be in life. Hallelujah. Now, quickly. If you are going to destroy self-doubt, first and foremost, you need to extricate yourself from the defeats of the past. The mentality of the past, the strongholds of the past. You need to break free from them. Don't let your negative experiences of the past shape your imagination for the future. You were in a relationship, it didn't work. You felt, oh, the guy now he hurt you, he did this, he did that, and then you said, I will never trust any man again in my life. Guess what you have done? You have destroyed your blessing. Because that man can come who is meant to elevate you. And you say, I will never trust any man. I won't trust this one too. And he will just go with his blessing and look for somebody else. Yesterday night, I was asking my wife, I said, honey, is there something that you will just think about and say, oh, if my husband can just do this for me? I was looking for a project. I was looking for a way to be a blessing to my wife. Is there anything that you can just say, oh, if my husband can just do this for me? My husband was like, and that made me happy. She was like, oh, I'm already living the dream. I'm already living the dream. I'm like, oh my God. She can't even give me something. You know? And then she said, oh, I will think about it. So think about it. Praise the Lord. That hallelujah is not good enough. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. May your husband tell you that too. Husbands, tell your wife that today. When you get home. Amen. It's got to be something I will trust God for. Amen. Just to keep registering that, hey, babe, I love you with my whole heart. It's as simple as that. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Self-doubt will betray your future. You know why? Because it will stop you from attempting the future you are created to conquer. Doubt kills opportunities you can. This is security. This is opportunity. Doubt will kill the opportunities because of security. Doubt kills the desire to manifest greatness. Doubt kills your reality more than failure can ever do. Doubt says, don't attempt it. If you attempt it, you will fail. But it's better to attempt it and fail than not to do it at all. Touch your neighbor. Say, neighbor, stop yourself. Stop yourself. Stop yourself. To stop yourself, you didn't get it well. Stop yourself. To stop yourself from rising up. Did you get that English? You got to stop yourself. You have to stop yourself from stopping yourself from rising. Doubt gives power to your weakness. And all you talk about is your weakness. And it holds your mind captive. You can't dream again. For the children of Israel, it became a stronghold in their minds. Used to, we cannot, 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 we cannot. Somebody say, please say, we can. You can. Whoever thought a black man will ever be president in America in 10 lifetimes? There are directors of companies sitting down here, and you are still warming the bench of where you are. When you look at your CEO, do you see yourself in his position? Do you see yourself in the position of the chairman of your company? The first black man, time is always this problem. The first black man in the history of the United Kingdom became an archbishop. Archbishop St. Tammu became an archbishop of York. Guess where York is? Only white people live there. And he's the archbishop of the Anglican church there. All the Anglican churches in York. God must have a sense of humor. Isn't it? God must have a sense of humor. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Tell your neighbor, say, man up. Whether you're a woman or a man, man up. Rise up to the occasion. That's what it means. I'm going to close with this. We'll continue next week. I hope you're getting something. One day we were driving in the car. Suddenly my son said, Dad, do you remember? Before he said, oh, he said, Dad, you have to apologize. I said, apologize for what? He said, do you remember when I was 5 years old? This year, it's 9. I'm like, when you were 5 years old, what happened? He said, when something happened and I hit my foot or bleeding or something like that, and you said, man up. How can you say man up to a 5 year old? I'm like, 5 years? This boy still put that in his mind. He said, you have to apologize. I said, I can't remember. I said, but even though I remember, still man up. Caleb came out and said, guys, let's man up. We can take it. Let's man up. We can go. Let's man up. We can receive our inheritance. Rather than listen to all these lily-livered idiots. They saw it. They saw the proofs. But they don't want it. I can't be in the same category with these people. It's a promise that God gave us. Let's man up and go for it.